Okay, so what we're going to do is actually re-examine a passage in the Agarata that we've seen before from an angle that we haven't addressed, but with a Shavuot twist on it. First, I want to tell you an insight that, I've got to be honest, is completely pshat, and I don't think I ever processed until this week. Worldwide unity learning thing put on by Yeshiva HaKotel with like Rashi Yeshiva and Rabbanim and teachers from around the world in the Dati Lumi world, the modern Orthodox world, Haredi world, etc. in memory of the Nevi Minsker. One of the shiurim that caught my eye was by Rabbi Blachman, who's a Ram at KBY.
Which Blachman?
Mendel Blachman at KBY. He said that Shavuot is the holiday of where we celebrate the receiving of the broken luchot, which I never thought of, but it's true, right? We celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah, because the Torah that we got, we never got. Meaning, Moshe goes up to the mountain, we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah, but those are the luchot that get shattered, which means we celebrate that day, which I just... Definitely never really just put it that simply, but it's obviously true. We never actually got those luchot. But that brings us back to the passage that we spent 2 weeks on, I think at least, on the breaking of the luchot. Chag Sameach, Avi.
Chag Sameach, Avi.
But I want to take it from a different angle. So maybe let's remind ourselves of that Gemara, which I gave you here in two, just the key lines. Right, Asher Shivarta v'samtam ba'aron, Tanu Rav Yosef melamecha luchot v'shivrei luchot munachim ba'aron. Remember this, that the luchot and the broken luchot are in the aron together. Mikam v'tamid chacham sheshachach Talmudo machmad v'zoshe nogin bo minhag b'zayon. From here we derive the Talmud scholar who loses his learning. We don't disgrace him in Amarish Lakish. So we spent a lot of time on that first line. Two shirim, I'm not going back to that one. We spend a lot of time in this line as well. That Amar Reish Lakish Pamim should be Tula Shel Torah Zeu Yisoda Dichtiv Asher Shibarta. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Yasher Kol Chacha She Shibarta. God says to Moshe, Shkoyech, that you broke the Luchot. And from here we learn that sometimes the invalidation of the Torah, the nullification of the Torah, is itself its kiyum. Okay? So we discussed that a little bit in some of the Midrashim. There seems to be a machloket about, in fact, whether Moshe did this of his own accord or whether God instructed him in it. And that was one of the meta questions that you have to ask by Tanakh, which is, are Nevi'im capable of doing things that they're not instructed to do? But I want to look at it from a different angle. And this is from the primary Agarata that we're going to be studying, is this Gemara in Erevin, which is a series of statements, I didn't even give you all of them, about Talmud Torah. And I want to try to get at the ideas here, and specifically the idea in contrasting the presentation in Erevin and the one in Menachot. The main idea I want to focus on tonight, if we have time for other ideas, great. If not, this is the main idea I do want to make sure to get to, is from Rav Huttner, because Rav Huttner, I don't think we've really seen Rav Huttner a lot, even though he really has very profound ideas in general, and on the Agarata, many of his comments are really quite insightful, and if Rabbi Blau heard that I had been giving Agarata for 2 years, I'm not sure I quoted Rav Huttner once, maybe once, he would be very upset at me. So I will make sure to quote him tonight. It's really not on purpose, it's just, I'm not like super well. Well, I'm just not also super well read in Rav Huttner, which is, Chataya Ani Maskir Hayom. I just.
Wait, Rabbi, there's like a page you haven't read?
There are many things I have not read. Pachad Yitzchak is a philosophical treatise. I've read some of it, but he's very long and very dense. Fascinating. Okay. So, let's look at the Gemara in Erevin. So, the Gemara in Erevin says as follows: Amar Rebbe. Rabbi Elazar, my dechiv anakim legrogrotecha. What does it mean that the Torah is like jewelry on your neck? It may seem adam atmo ke'anak. The shravel at savar v'nireh v'nireh Talmudo mitkayim v'yadov. You make it hidden, like seen and not seen, meaning you don't like showy about your Torah, it will be established. V'imlav, if you're showy about it, ein tamudo mitkayim. Right, so there's this value to humility in Talmud Torah. V'amar elazar ma'idichtiv. V'chayoka aragin abosem, and meisim adavim karugasher, called doshinbo. Ukibosem zesher, called mit bas minba, tamudo mitkayim. V'imlav, ein tamudo mitkayim. And you see several of these statements of humility. If you skip down a bit, so skip down to the next, like five lines down. So Amar Rebbe Elazar, my dechtiv, charut al haluchot. What does it mean that they were? What does charut literally mean?
Charut,
engraved. Right, the words were engraved on the luchot. So now the Gemara makes a radical statement. Il malei lo nishtabru luchot harishonot. Lo nishtakha Torah miYisrael. If the first luchot had not been broken, Torah would never have been forgotten from the Jewish people.
What's the connection?
Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov said, "Ein kol uma v'lashon shalatet bohem." No nation could have power over them. Shneemar charut al tikri charut. Ella Cheirut. And no nation can ever power them, because don't read it as Charut, read it as Cheirut, freedom. Okay? And then the Gemara goes on for more statements about how in order to keep the Torah you need humility. Right? Many other statements, Rav Abarei de Rav Yosef, Racham Havilei Milta, Rav Yosef Bahadei, Madamali Mekipure, sorry, the one before that, if you make yourself like a desert that people can trample on, right, your Torah will be mitkayim. Again, these humility things, right? You remember the Torah if you are humble. Okay, many statements like this.
So would these humility statements get completely thrown out if there was, if love was
had to be broken? Well, let's think about this. Okay, let's get into this Gemara for a second. Okay. I have a few questions in this Agata. First of all,
what's the limit?
Yeah. First of all, what's the limit? Second of all, why is this statement bracketed amongst humility statements? Right? On both sides. Right? There's a bunch of humility statements. In the middle, this Torah would never be forgotten. Right? Right in the middle.
Are you asking why it's being said, or specifically why is it?
Why is it
being said? First, why is it being said at all? Why is it said here?
So both.
Yeah. And the third question, or even what is being said, third question is this Gemara in tension with the Gemara in Menachot? Right? Meaning the Gemara in Menachot says, God said to Moshe, Shkoyech! Good job, breaking the Torah. Shkoyech! And that's, God said it like that. He spoke Yeshivish, right? Clearly didn't use proper grammar. He didn't use proper grammar, he said Shkoyech, okay?
It's called that Moshe Warshman.
What?
Yeah.
Video game, God doesn't speak with proper Hebrew grammar. Right? That's obviously what you've done.
That just leads to the question.
What?
Why do we have the story about Moshe that seeing God's tefillin and
And what does it say on God's shrine wall? We know what it says on his tefillin, but what does it say on his shrine wall? Good gosh, I don't know. I give up. Okay, good. What do you think? Is an intention. Meaning, the Gemara in Eruvim says Torah is forgotten because of the breaking of the Luchot.
I think the only way you can say that it moves to the Gemara Menachos is if it's in a better scenario now that Torah can be forgotten.
Oh, okay. Well, let's be careful. Possibility one is, look, it was the right thing to do in the moment, but there were costs. Meaning, the Luchot needed to be broken to save the Jews. That doesn't mean there wasn't a cost. In which case, they could completely work together. Right, that would be one way of saying it.
Isn't that ironic though? Because they were broken to save them, but we said that if they were not broken, then we would have never forgotten Torah.
Correct, but so you'd say, but they had to save their lives, right? Possibility one is: look, you have a choice: die or live, but forget Torah. Which is worse? Dying. So maybe Moshe was right.
Yeah.
Right, that's possibility one. Possibility two is... Look, maybe something like Yosef is saying, but maybe possibility two is... No, this is a machloket. Meaning, the Gemara in Menachot is saying what Moshe did was unabashed, was unequivocally good. And the Gemara in Yerman is saying, no, it wasn't. Right? And maybe like Yosef is saying, look, if the Jews had been killed, so the people who would have survived with Moshe would have had eidetic memories. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Right? It would have been a nation. The Jews would have died, but the people who would have replaced us would have all had eidetic memories. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. Right? That's what we all dream of. Okay? Right? They all would have been Rav Avadya Yosef. That would have been like, you know, that would have been the Jews. What?
What
about the
memories?
Something
that was a good thing.
You know, Hanami, I was saying. Now, so those are two extremes. But there is a third possibility, and that is?
In between.
Right?
The third possibility would be that it is not an ultimate for whether what he did was good, it is whether what he did was pure good and no bad.
Meaning, it could be that forgetting Torah had benefits. Right? That there's a benefit to forgetting Torah. Now, what might support that read? There is one thing that hints that there's two ways you could get to that read. One is simply saying there's not a machloket, a sugya. Right? What's another way? This is a bit more subtle, but I think it might be another hint.
Both Gemaras can be true simultaneously.
Correct. I said, possibility one is, it's good they didn't die, but there was a cost.
Yeah.
Right? So possibility two is, it's a stira. Possibility three is,
Moshe
could've... it's actually a good thing that they forgot Torah.
So it's like mixed events, right?
Meaning that there's bad to it, but it's also good. What might indicate the third read, which I agree is ambitious, as Reverend Zweig would say, but what might indicate that almost paradoxical read? What would push me in that direction a little bit?
Potentially the idea that if you don't understand that you're doing something wrong, it's less big problem, right?
Okay, we could come up with technical reasons, but I want to think literarily. What would support that read? So I would say a third possible read is, and this is a little bit, and this is the question you have to deal with. Remember, what's the context of the Gemara?
In which one?
This, the Gemara Nirvan. You need to be humble in order to make sure that you remember your Torah. So this Gemara that's thrown in the middle, that if the Luchot hadn't been broken, the Jews would never have forgotten their Torah, right? It can be there for one of two reasons. Smack in the middle, sandwiched in. It can be there either as a contrast. Do all these things and you will remember your Torah, but this is a case of forgetting the Torah, or...
Well, it could be if we didn't have that, if we hadn't broken the locals, we never would have gotten these lessons.
Meaning there, or... There's something about this that is, paradoxically, we forgot learning, but... It was the secret to being mitkayin. Right? Then, right? These statements about being humble to become the Torah, maybe this is, right? Is this a contrasting statement? Or is it a, right? And that's what, now, if you'd ask me which is more likely, I would say it's the simplest shot in the Agadata is
we had to
break the Luchot to save the Jews. It was the lesser of two evils. And the reason this Gemara is thrown in is because,
well, now that we have these things...
We want you to remember Torah. And remember, there was one moment where you lost a heck of a lot of it. That's what it was said the pshat is. Right? But what we're going to see is that Rav Huttner, and maybe I'll start with Rav Huttner so that I can... And if I have time, I'll go to the other pieces. Rav Huttner sometimes... And I read an excellent article by Rabbi Yossi Blau, and this is really what got me thinking about it. That Rav Huttner has this way of taking statements of Chazal, and he just has this way of... He thinks paradoxically. And he tries... He just has a tendency, and you know, Ray Blau writes that he's not sure if it just be Mikra, or this was just like the way he thought, that life is complicated, and therefore you always look for the counter-read, like that's just the way he thought life is. He looks at this Gemara and says, this is actually good. This statement is here because, not because, this is parallel to the other statements. Forgetting Torah was, paradoxically, the only way it could have been mitkayim. Okay, what does that mean? What evidence could you possibly have? So first, before we answer that question, look at Gemara number 3. Because there's one other time that the Jews forgot Torah, according to the Agadic story. Gemara in Tzmura tells you as follows. Gufa, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shloshet alafim halachot nishtakhu bimei evlo shel Moshe. 3,000 halachot were lost
when Moshe
died during the Yimei Evlo shel Moshe. 3,000 halachot were forgotten. Why 3,000?
Because we're 3,000 years old.
No.
Every year.
Because it's assuming they learned 100 halachot a day.
And it was 3.
They lost 100 halachot per day for 30 days.
It is a month, yeah.
Just mathematics. Okay?
Well, then why 100
did? I don't know. Gotcha. Amarlo! Ah, but this is a beautiful, guys, this is a beautiful pre, this is why I wanted to do this. This is a beautiful pre Shavuos Agadah. So what did he say? Amarlo Yeshua. So he said to Yeshua, Sha'al! Hey, you know what happened when Moshe forgot Torah? He asked God, so Yeshua knew. Yalla, ask God. Omer lo, lo bashamayim hi. That was Moshe. I can't do it. I don't ask heaven. Right, Moshe, and this is the chiddush of, right, Rav Rosenzweig, I remember saying this once, right, the chiddush for everyone post-Moshe, asking God you can't do because lo bashamayim hi. But the Rambam's chiddush of saying that one of the Yesod Emuna, one of the Ikari Emuna, is that Moshe's nevuah is, right, is that Moshe's nevuah is a cheftza of Talmud Torah. And therefore, right, Moshe is allowed to ask because everything he says becomes Talmud, becomes Torah. After Moshe, it's not true. He's Moser it. But Moshe is the, like by virtue of the fact that he spoke Panim El Panim, everything he says becomes Gufa Shel Torah. Okay? But Yeshua can't do that. So Amrulo L'Shmuel. So they ask Shmuel, this is amazing, like meta-historical, I got it, obviously it's not shot, but it's saying that basically the Jews never recovered. Right? That they were always looking, where are those halachot that we forgot? So Shmuel, who's like the next super leader, right, after Holt Kuvara Shoftim, they say to him, Sha'al, okay, look, you know, nobody since Yeshua was willing to ask God, so Shmuel, how about you? You're really good at Nebuah.
Let's just ignore all the Shoftim and
Correct. Only Shmuel, because Shmuel is equivalent in Chazal's eyes to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, Mechon, Abba Shmuel, Bekarei Shemal. Amr Lahem, he said, I can't. Eila HaMitzvot, She'ein Navi Reshar Chadesh Davar Me'ata. The mitzvot Moshe gave, that's it. A Navi can't be Mechadesh something, I'm sorry. Amr Rav Yitzchak, Navcha, Av Chatat Shemitu Ba'aleha, Nishkach Me'evlo Shal Moshe. The Gemara then gets even more fun and says, I know which halachot they forgot. And he starts suggesting, says, here's one, the halachot of what happens when the Karban Chatas, the owner of a Karban Chatas dies. Oh, what do you do to that carbon? That halacha was forgotten. And I'm sure all of you knew this and forgot it and not never heard of the halacha.
What is that counterintuitive?
Amr Levinchas. They said the Pinchas. Because remember,
this is a slight time thing going
on. No, remember, in the eyes of Chazal, Pinchas lives through Eliyahu, right? He just lives and lives and lives and lives and lives. Right, he just goes. So whatever, well, that's more than Kabbalistic literature, whatever. He definitely lives a long time.
Does he continue being?
But anyways, so Amrula, lo bashamayim, he also says it's not in heaven. And it goes back and forth. Amrula, Elazar, right? They go back to Elazar, don't ask me how this time is working. Sha'al, Amrula, Amir, Mazar, Shayna, Chadish, Dover, Me'ata. Amr, Vida, Marav. Bishash, and Niftar, Moshe, Rabinu, Gan Eden. Amrula, Yeshua. As Moshe was going to Gan Eden, Yeshua said to him, he said to Yeshua, Sha'al, me many kol sviko, chayish lecha. Ask me anything. Anything you need clarified, I'll say it right now. Amr lo Rebbe, klum hi nachta sha achar malachti lemakom acher lo kach katafti bi umisharto Yoshua ben Nun na'ar lo yomish b'dach ha'oel. He said, I have no sfeikot. I've been with you every second. There's never a minute. I couldn't have missed anything. I know everything.
You know,
I know everything. I know everything. Oh, great. Miyad tashash kol chol she Yoshua. Immediately, His eidetic memory goes. Nishtach lemeir shlosh me'alacha. 300 lacha fly into the window. We know the lo shva me'at tzvegla. He forgot 300 lacha legamre, and 700 lacha he had a safek on. Oh, very good.
That's fine.
This 300, 700, that's like Shlomo's wives and concubines, right? 1,000 total, 300, 700 division. I don't know if that has any connection to this. It might, for all I know. I have no idea. The Amdu Kol Yisrael Lahargo. And it gets dramatic, and all the Jews want to kill him. Overlooked
this
Baruch Hu.
That's how you solve the problem. Kill the guy who knows all the halachos.
No, he forgot the halachos.
No, he still knows the. He still knows the better than anyone else.
So Amar Lo, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So God intervenes and He says to Yeshua, "I said it's a great account. That's wonderful." Lomer Lecha Yeshar. So God says, "Look, I can't tell you the answers. I can't tell you. I'm not giving it away." Lech. I got advice for you. Take them to war. Everyone forgets everything. Right? First one to say, criticism of your politics, start a war somewhere. No, great.
Domestic trouble,
we'll
just go find a war.
It's an amazing account of that. It's just incredible. So my season Dana, Elif, Hushvami, Akal, Mechamurim, Zer, Shabbat, Dukli, Shabbat, 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 Moshe. Now it gets even more specific. It was 1,700 Kalmachomers, Zer, Shabbat, and Dukli, Sofrim. Amar, Rabbi Abba. But here's the line.
Hold on, what's the problem of forgetting a Kalmachomer?
I don't know. There's so much in this account, I thought we could spend hours on it. But.
Would Kalmachomers fall into the category if you can't ask God about them?
Presumably. It's logic. I don't know.
It's logic. Like,
So what happens after this? All this drama, what happens?
God.
So good. What happens after all this drama, guys? So Amar Lo, Amar Rabbi Avahu. And here's where you get the twist. So were these halachot lost forever? No. Afal Pichein. Hechziran Otniel ben Kenaz mitoch Pilpula. Who managed to bring the Torah back? And this doesn't work out historically because Shmuel they already asked, but fine, not important. Otniel ben Kenaz. Who's Otniel ben Kenaz? Yes, which Shofet?
That's the first.
Very good. The first Shofet. He's the son-in-law of who?
Son-in-law.
Kalev, thank you. The son-in-law of Kalev. Shene Emar, Vilkidot Yal Mekinaz, Achi Kalev, Vaitin Lo Dichsa Vaitel Lisha. Lisha. Okay? So now, what does this last line mean? Asniel Ben Kenaz not only was the first shofet, he was a grois lambda. And through his lambdas, he figured out all the halakha that were forgotten.
The 3,000 or the 1,000 that he forgot?
All of them. All of it. All 3,000.
Again,
this doesn't work historically because of Shmuel's the leader, whatever, doesn't matter. For our purposes, let's not try to figure out the history going on here because, again, that means they're not forgotten by the time Shmuel comes, I don't know. So good, but tell me what shot in this line. So there's two possibilities. One is, Baruch Hashem. Right, okay. Really, we should have remembered it. But the Diavad, Asniel gets it back. But what does it sound like in the Gemara? There's two ways of reading it. Is this okay, you know what? It's good. In the end of the day, we thought we lost the Torah. Asnil Ben Kenaz was such a London, we managed to get it back. But if Moshe had just, if we'd never forgotten it, Matovu Manayim. Or?
It's even better. Or is back even dough on one of
Bid you. Or is it that the 3,000, the loss of 3,000 halacha wasn't just, they happened to forget it, now they needed to find it. That was something that had to happen because the Torah in the generation of Moshe was one of, we get it from God, but we aren't participants, but
they had to work for it.
Exactly. Is after Moshe, for the Torah to survive, you need people who are invested. And that's actually the chatchila. Like God wanted people to forget. You know, I have one of my rebbeim. Remember Rai Clapper came earlier in the year? Remember Rai Aryeh Clapper? He came, he gave Shiran. What did he give Shiran this year? I think what he gave him this year. I have to remember what he gave to us this year. He came and gave Shiran earlier in the year.
Who was it?
Rai Clapper. Long time.
I need to remember who
tried that one. Anyways, so He told me once that he was in Rosenzweig's shir, in Rosenzweig's first shir. The first shir Rosenzweig gave in YU, the first year he gave early admissions, so like 12th graders, right? So there's like 8 guys in the shir, small little group. Now, the way Rosenzweig does a sugya is like, if you remember when he gave shir, it's like, there's no stone unturned. None. Whatsoever. Right? Like, when we learned Yevamos, the first 4 weeks were just on the psukim. 4 weeks. Okay? Like, okay? And shir is 2 hours, 3 times a week. Like, it's, you know, long. So,
wait, 3 times a day or a week?
No, 3 times a week.
Like,
times
a day.
Still, 6 hours. That means, like, 24 hours on the psukim. Like, it was a lot. Something like that. As Ray Clapper said, he had this problem that any sugi he learned from the Rosenzweig, guys, he said any sugi he learned from the Rosenzweig was a problem because it was like, if you imagine the sugi like a field, right? A Rosenzweig shared, it's like locusts descend on. There's nothing left to say afterwards. Like any stone, you haven't left any, it's like, you know, you've done everything. Which, you know, for certain people that's great, like you're thorough, and certain people want to participate. So he said once that, you know, after a few years in shir, he could start learning the sugyas again because he started forgetting what Rosenzweig said, so he could look at it with fresh eyes. And he said this once to Rosenzweig, you know, Rebbe, you know, I can start learning the sugyas again because, you know, I started forgetting what we didn't share. And Rosenzweig, and this is, again, I heard this story like secondhand, but knowing how much Rosenzweig believes in remembering Torah, which is part of where I get my obsession with it, he said to him, good, you can write a spiritual biography called The Benefits of Being on a Low Spiritual Level. Which is... which, okay, I don't know if that was tongue-in-cheek. I don't know. He's a very gentle person, so I don't really know. But, what? Yes. But, like, you know, Rav Chaim also had his moments where he really was not happy in our knowledge of Torah. yeah, so, anyways, but,
Rabbi, I've been wanting to hear some of the stories about you with your classes in Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto now. What was I going to say? Good. But what the story, I think, as comical as it is, and again, whether it's serious or not, I have no idea, tells you something, which is that there is a level at which, if you've been inundated, if you have all the information, you cannot participate in the sugya. It's just impossible.
What, if you know the information?
Right? Meaning, sometimes I feel this way, right? A sugya that I've learned with my rebbeim, right? Okay. Right, meaning, like, there's certain sugya that when someone asks me a question, like, it's very hard for me to, feel like I'm participating. Because what comes to mind, I remember when Rosenzweig gave shir on it, and I just, right? Like, right, I mean, if when someone asks me a question, it's like I go into, you know, like, I just, my brain just, like, it just spits back what I learned in shir. Right, there is no, I just don't contribute. Right? My brain just, like, I remember once, you know, there's certain sugyot. In high school, I remember a Friedman once said that he once said to us, he's like, I want you to know the Nekuda Nifla so well that if you fall, that if someone would wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you about this, you would know the answer. You'd be able to explain it. So I took that to heart, and I don't know, 6 years later, 5-6 years later, I was in shir by Rosenzweig, and I was, I don't remember why, I was very exhausted that day. I was like falling asleep in shir, and I fell asleep in shir. And Rosenzweig,
I would never do that.
Okay. Never, yeah. And Rosenzweig called on me probably to wake me up, and asked me in the Nefla, and I kid you not, in my, like, I like shook awake, but I repeated it, like I didn't have to think, I have no contribution, like every piece of analysis for Ray Friedman, like in a 12th grade, so I'm like, boom, and I'm like, you probably think I wasn't sleeping, I was totally sleeping, but, oh, it was so satisfying, but like, there was no contribution, like, for myself at all, right, it was like, this has been drilled into my head, the analysis has not changed since I was in 12th grade.
This one, it sounds like the clarity of a movie.
Yeah.
That was Q&A.
What?
Yeah.
All Rabbi Friedman does that.
Come on. Anyways, but so this though is the tension that Reutner picks up on. So look at the last page here. Look at Mamar Gimel, and if we only get to Reutner, so Dayenu, if we see other sources, Mato. So good. Let's look. Right. The Reutner piece. Mamar this. Okay, that's Mamar Gimel and the Pachad Yitzchak. Okay.
I'm assuming that it's the thing that says Mamar Gimel and is not labeled the Pachad Yitzchak.
Correct. I that was like look at it and then I put it at the bottom back page. Okay. So he says. So the first paragraph he just says Masechet Shabbat Matchelet B'Dinei Hotzaah. Right, so he's talking about why does Masechet Shabbat start with the laws of carrying? I'm not going to focus on that. Okay? But look at, start, because we don't have so much time, look at Os Gimel. Okay, this is where he starts dealing with our Sugya. Got it? See how they're divided into Osias? Look at Gimel. Got it? Pe'amim shebitula shel Torah zeu tiyuma. Sometimes the nullification of Torah is its fulfillment. Shneemar. What's his paradigmatic example? Asher Shibarta. Yiyashir Koyech. Shkoyach Shibarta. Good, okay? Ma'aseh Shvirat Aluchot Himaseh Shokimata Yidei Bitula. And now he says, Bahare Omru Chachamim She'ol Mole Nishtabru Luchot Laita Torah Nishtakachet B'Yisrael. But wait a second, doesn't the Gemara say that if you hadn't broken Luchot, the Torah would never have been forgotten? He says, you have to read these Gemaras? Not like, well, you had to break it, but there were consequences. No, you have to read them in synergy. Right, in synergy. Nimtza ifo ki shirat haluchot haya ba gam bishum shecharat Torah. The meidim anu mikan chiyush nifla ki efshar la la Torah she titra be al yidei shecharat Torah. From here we learn that the forgetting of Torah sometimes is what allows for Torah to grow. To the point where God himself will say shkoyech on forgetting Torah. He said, I'll prove it to you. He said Shloshmeo, but Argir says Shloshet Alafim. I'm not sure why he says that. V'chziru Matniel ben Kenaz b'pilpulo. V'arei divrei Torah lo shil pilpul hachzar alachot. Hein heim divrei Torah shenabru rak al yinei shechara Torah. What enabled human beings to recreate the halachot? Forgetting it from Moshe. V'lo od. El shekol inyan ha-machloket balacha inu al nisa shechara Torah. The entire possibility of machloket of different positions is because we forgot. Now, you might think that's bad. The Rambam thinks that's bad.
You're saying, is he saying that's better than just knowing the Torah?
Me'achuz. This is where I said, this is what one of Rabbi Blau's examples of the way that Rav Huttner is a paradoxical thinker. Because the Rambam says, gevalt, right? You forgot Torah, now there's machlokes, that's terrible. You should just have a pristine Torah. And he says, no. This is good. Because if God said Shkoyach, he wouldn't say Shkoyach and forgetting Torah was unambiguously bad, right? And instead of just saying, well, it was good but had consequences, he said, no, it must be the forgetting of Torah itself is good. He says, V'afol pichein halokach amru chachamim afol pishalom mitam halom mitamin halom poslim halom machshirin halom pochim halom mechayvim. Because the Gemara says that even though these say also, these say mutter, these say tar, these are tamei, eilu ve'eilu. Divrei Elokim Chayim. V'nimtza d'kol chilukei adot v'chilei v'sheitot heim hagdola ra Torah. So what do you learn from here? That machlokes, both positions, are part of the Torah, part of increasing the Torah. V'hadarata ha'meldot dafka b'kocha shel shechecha ha'Torah. A power that can only come from forgetting. V'chidush od yoter gadol. I'll push it farther. Yotzei lanu mikan ki mirubeh midar ha'latat kocha shel Torah shebal peh. The power of Torah Shebaal Peh is strengthened and expressed better by Machloket than when you agree. According to the Rambam, yes. But for a partner, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. For the Rambam, it's a bad thing.
Isn't he just affirming the concept?
Meaning, what do you mean?
Like, it's like, all right, this happened, so...
Correct. Oh, yeah, meaning instead of saying, like, the Rambam, it happened, now let's deal with it, he is, like I said, this is one of Rabbi Blau's examples of the paradoxical way that Rambam thinks, is that he dafka wants to think paradoxically, because he thinks life is complex, or something like that. He says, Kelo bik... Because even when you reject the halacha, you've created something which is Torah. As long as it's in the rubric of Torah Shebal Peh, because the Torah is given over by the Chachmei Torah, the imyamdu leminyan achar kach v'yachriu keedah nitcheit mikan v'yachtishan alachali b'demet. And if they were to agree to accept the rejected position, it would work, which shows you that it's still part of Torah. Yeah. V'nimtza ki machlokutam shel chachmei Torah megalet kolcha shel Torah shebe'al peh, and therefore machloket harbe yoter masher eskamatam. Machloket adds to Torah more than agreement does. Milchamta shel Torah inena ofen achad bein ofanim shel devei
Torah.
It's not just what?
It adds to the study of Torah.
To the chefts of Torah. It adds to the Torah itself.
Assuming that if you...
Like I said, I'm analyzing his read here. Right? This is a like way of getting into the way Rav Huttner thinks.
He's assuming that if both... He's discussing like the classic Bishon of Yisrael, that Zuv is a big way of Mohan. Both sides of Machlokas are Torah. By having Machlokas, you are increasing that.
Bidyuk. Is it Ella? Shemelchamda shel Torah yitzirai chiyuvit shel elkei Torah chadashim she'inam zo dugmatam divrei Torah stam. Al Kane. By the way, you know, there are thinkers who think that the Netziv has this amazing piece in the Kidmat HaEmek, which we might have quoted at some point this year, though I'm not sure, where he argues that God so much wants people to be participating in it that if they're not, he will bring around like catastrophes, that, if that's what it takes. And he's like, the Gaonim view themselves as the responsible transmitters of the tradition of the Bavli. And that drove God so nuts that... He kicked the Jews out of Bavel and sent them to France so that Rabbeinu Tam could be born and begin a new movement of Lamdus. Like, this is literally what he says. I kid you not. This is what he says. He said God had to kick the Jews out of Bavel and send them to France so that the Baliatosos could be born. What? Oh, this is like the most unbelievable.
It's the same Baliatosos that says God is physical?
No.
Rabbeinu Tam?
No.
No, he's talking about Rabbeinu...
Oh, I just heard
a piece of Bali. No, not Moshe Taku. Rabbeinu Tam, three. Has a body, yes. In the Ktav Tamim.
Yeah.
Ktav Tamim?
What's it called?
Ktav Tamim. It exists only in manuscript. You have to like look it up in the PDF. It's really a pain in the neck to read. Really a pain.
Does he say it? Or does he like explain away?
No, no, no. He thinks it's fear to not believe that God has a body. He doesn't say he's physical. He says a body. It's different.
He
doesn't
say what?
Does he bring like a bunch of proofs to it? Or does he just have like one line that says God's physical?
No, no. He's like, this is obvious. If you don't believe it, you're a heretic.
Well, and that's it.
And doesn't it?
No, he's like, the Pasuk says he has a hand. The Pasuk says he has this. What do you want for my life? Chazal say it.
The Pasuk?
The Pasuk everywhere. He has a hand. He has an eye. He has a this. He has a that.
What's the
source? What? I think it's Ktav Tamim, I think. Ktav Tamim, I think. I think that's what it's called. It's been a while since I've looked it up in the manuscript. I did once look it up. I did once actually look up the original. Like there, you can get it, like a copy of it. So in the Gush Library, they have one. I looked at it. It's like impossible to read. It's like, oh my God. There's like, isn't that...
Language?
What?
Language?
No, it's in handwriting. Like Mamish. Like it's like a... maybe it's published by this point, but it was like Mamish, like copied of, like him. It was like unbelievable. Anyways, but no, he meant Rabbeinu Tam. You know, remember the Bali Tosfos are like our heroes. We love the Bali Tosfos.
It's really funny if God kicked the Jews out, so they create the Bali Tosfos.
Fine. We Mamish. Look, remember in my family we love the Bali Tosfos. We name our kids for Bali Tosfos. Like we love the Bali Tosfos. You know.
How many of the individual Bali Tosfos do we know that they name?
Hundreds. There's a 2-volume book by Ephraim Urbach just going through them. Yes.
My personal name.
Meaning, Meir is after the Maharam Rutenberg, right? And Ezra, so Shmuel is after the Rashbam and Shmuel Afalej. And Ezra is not actually after a Balei Tosfot, except technically there is one Balei Tosfot at least named Ezra, who was a very strange Baal HaTosfot. He was one of the Rebbeim of the Maharam Wittenberg named Ezra HaNavi of Mankantor. So don't ask me. He's very interesting. Very interesting Baal HaTosfot.
Was that a title he was given?
Yes, Ezra HaNavi of Mankantor. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the last word correctly. Ezra HaNavi, I know I'm pronouncing correctly. Mankantor, I'm not sure I am.
What's the story? There has to be a story behind that.
Well, yes, he was a prophet. Don't ask me, I don't know. He had like visions and all sorts of things. Interesting. Interesting stuff. Okay. Good times. Aaron is not after Baal HaTosfot. That was because Rav Lichtenstein had passed away right before Aaron was born. And that sort of superseded. Anyways. So Rav Hutner continues. Al Kenyo Mar Basim Melchamon Hashem et Behevizufa. And he says, I'll give you another Gemara. The Gemara in condition, I didn't give it to you on the source. It says that et Behevizufa Afilo Abu Bno Harav Talmido. Right, even a parent and child, or Rebbe and his Talmud, Nasim. So funny. You can tell when someone wrote something Baal Peh by what mistakes he makes. Right, this is something that Rav Rimon does sometimes, is he can tell whether someone wrote something by looking in the Gemara or because he knew Shas Baal Peh, therefore makes slight little mistakes. So it happens to be that this is not the Gersa in our Gemara. It's not Sonim Zelazeh, it's Nasim Oivim Zelazeh, unless I'm forgetting it, but I'm pretty sure that it's Oivim Zelazeh. I've looked it up probably more recently. Pretty sure it's Oivim. It could be different Gersa, I don't know. V'einam Zazim Misham Achenasim Ohavim Zelazeh. One of us was learning it, was saying this Gemara Baal Peh. I don't know which one right now, okay? Well, you can look it up now. And they don't leave until they love each other. So he says, Bashkafa Rishona Hadvarim Alalu Baim Lashmineinu Et Haributa V'Godel Kocho Shel Chibur HaAhava Tamun Medivrei Torah. One way of reading this is that the love that is generated by Torah is so great. The Hainu Shekocho Shel Chibur HaAhava Zeh Gadol Hu Ad Kidei Avtachad HaReut HaNe'emana Afilu Eilet Shemikodem Nasu Sonim Zeh Lo Zeh. You looking it up? 30B, I believe. So he says, Lefi. So one way of reading this is that the Torah generates love. Lefi havana zo haributa hi bekan ki lamrot hasina shel shata machloket, that despite the fighting, haribasov ba yaava machriota, in the end, love will surpass it. Ve'enam zazim yishav ashen o'afim. Aval, but he says mechivan shenit bahara lo no 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 kudazo. But he said what? No, oivim before that. The line before oavim. Before oavim. The end is oavim. What are they before? Sonim or oivim? Oivim.
Wow.
10 points. Okay.
Awesome.
10 points for me. Okay. But that means he was doing it Baal Peh, but I was also doing it Baal Peh, but no. That's fine.
So his Baal Peh was better?
What?
So your Baal Peh was better?
It could be he had different gears for all I know. I don't know. Or he's paraphrasing. I don't know. But
which
look, I would not
sure
I would
did.
Not be look, I'm not you know
I'm sure he was going.
What?
I'm sure he was going.
Oivim Sonim, it doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. Okay, anyways. Sorry, on head. Sorry. It just went down, sorry. So he says, but he said, I have a better, different shot. But once I tell you that Machloket is a higher level, what we're saying is, "Hare bihirut zu talmudeno ladash iniyam bekan shaval baso ba'a hilam roda machloket akodemet." It's not saying that they love each other the end despite the machloket. El shakachu derek bidula shala avazu shinoldam galad dafk al karka machloket akodemet. No, no, no. The love is created by the machloket. M'day shakol avam megiel. My rompis kadav b'shash and etzadim yishlem shutafut shel yitzirah. Because what's the highest level of love? Joint creation, right? Like parents. Is it Ushnei Tzadim Amit Nagchim B'Halacha Harim Shutafim Litzur Shel Erech Terach Hadash? The love is created by the fact that because they were fighting, they created a new Chepta Shel Torah. Asher Shmohu Melcham Tshel Torah. Now Vav. The Chozrim Anu Bazel Achad Bari Mitzvut Shemachol B'Divrei Torah V'Halacha Alechad Yoshecha Yameinu Eilad Nolda Amnam B'Choshek Gavad. And they get into a sort of a idea that maybe this notion of machloket, we get something from the Greeks. Mikomakam emitzud zeshir begulat yavan adra purkana chanukah. This is a mamar chanukah, so then he ties into chanukah, but we don't have time to get into it now, okay? But he says this idea of machloket, that it creates new Torah, is the Jewish view. So what Rav Huttner does, and again, this is one of Rabbi Blau's examples of this paradoxical thinking, right, where he looks at it and takes something which Gemara thinks is bad, combines it with another Gemara, which clearly says this moment was good in some sense. And instead of saying, well, it's good and bad, it has good aspects, bad aspects, he says, no, what looks to you like it's bad is good. It is good. And therefore, right, he's saying, therefore, it's as if God said, Shkoyach, I'm forgetting the Torah. But only because it allows you to create more. And that's his paradoxical read. And if that's the case, now coming back to the point I started with Rabbi Blachman, right? Now it sort of makes sense that Matan Torah is the holiday in which we celebrate the receiving of the broken luchot, right? That which enabled human participation, right? Another way of saying this, which many of the Achronim say, is that the other way that you see that what we're celebrating is human contribution to Torah is that according to Chazal, there was a machloket between God and Moshe on which day the Torah should be given. God said, I want to give the Torah on Vav Sivan. And Moshe said, I want it on Zayin Sivan. Because of how they understood Acharit in 3 days. Right? When does the 3 days start? And who won? Moshe. Right? Moshe, which means that we celebrate Vav Sivan as the day that, not that we got the Torah, but Moshe convinced God to give the Torah the next day. We celebrate not the day we got the Torah, but the day that we proved that that human involvement in Torah is so important that we can even poskin against God and God will listen.
Is this why we reject poskels?
Yes. Lo bashamayim, that's exactly why. The same line is what is invoked for lo bashamayim. So this is the paradoxical read of Rav Huttner, which I think is both in insight into the way that Rav Huttner thinks about Chazal and the complexity of Agadata and life in general. It's also a nice pre-Shavuos idea, and another look on an Agadata that we've seen several times. What time is it?
54.
Okay, good. So we have a few more minutes. So let's try to get through a few more ideas. If we don't get through everything, Zelo Sofa Olam. So let us. Okay, you know what? Let's look, because this is another personality that we haven't seen this year. So let us. So let's try Rav Shimon Shkaf, okay, in 5, just to try to meet some more people, so to speak. So Rav Shimon Shkaf comments in this Gemara as well. Says the Efshar Leva'er. I got a new shot for you. This is a very fascinating thought. He said, I don't understand. What was Moshe's thought? That because the Jews sinned, so now they don't deserve Dav Torah? Was that his shot? Like, of all things, you're sinning. And he said, wouldn't it have been a better idea if Moshe had brought them the Torah and taught it to them? Isn't that a better way of getting towards tshuva? Right? Not like, oh, you violated sin? Okay, I'm never going to let you look at Torah again. How about, you sinned? Let's sit down. Let's learn something. Let's realize what you did was wrong. Right? What was this? You sinned? Okay, forget it. Don't bother learning. He says, I'm a lola shabra magamre. Who does this? You break them? He said, well, mamase. Right? Why did he break them and beg to God? And he said, furthermore, what does the Gemara say? Right? That if the Torah, that they hadn't been broken, they never would have forgotten the Torah. Right? Which meant, how does he understand that line? Said what that's telling you is that there's a power in the first luchot. If you learn Torah from it, you automatically had an eidetic memory. Whether you did or not, learning from that gave you a photographic memory of that Gemara. You know, you knew all of Torah, chapter and verse. Okay?
Wow, we could finally discuss Tanakh with you.
I did not have an eidetic memory. Anyways, says v'inyan ze hirgeish Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom shalul al yedei ze liyot kilul hakodesh nar ma'ot shesheis devin shiye ish mushchat u'migu'al masim ra'im. He said, you know what happened? Now this is not a positive read of Rav Huttner. He said, what was he worried about? But it's also an important read. He said, look, the Gra has a part. I'll say this and I'll continue. The Gra has a part. Why is it the Torah is compared to rain? So he has the passing shot. Because he said, rain will make anything grow. If what you plant is beneficial, it'll make beneficial things grow. But if what you plant is detrimental, Torah will make that grow too. Meaning, Torah has the power to increase things. But if you are poisoned, me'ikara, it'll make you even worse. You can misuse the Torah. Torah has that power that if you are corrupt, the Torah will allow you to be more corrupt. So this is what, something like that is what Rishon Shkop says. He says, if you're already corrupt, and then what happens? You learn Torah, and you're a baki b'chal chadrei Torah, right, and you learn the whole Torah, that's going to be really, really, really bad. Because it was Maaseh Elokim, but he said, but the second ones were, v'luchot achronim, or Maaseh Yedei Adam. So look after the ellipsis. He says, v'tchilat kabbalat Torah Moshe Rabbeinu hayta lahem, Alav Shalom, Hayta Dumut, Va'ot L'Kol Bnei Yisrael, Mekablei HaTorah. Moshe Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, Tzolach Hashanei L'Chor Avanim. Kvoch Enirem is called Mekablei HaTorah. Yechavein Kol Ish, Sheyachin Kol Ish Yisrael L'Chot La'atzmo, L'Chtov Alehem Dvar Hashem. Kvi Hacharato Bachanan L'Chot Kein Tiyeh Kalbalato. V'tchila V'chein Gam Achar Zen Kalu Etzlo L'Chot Az Lo Tkayim HaTorah V'yidei Ze Lo Yiyah Matzoi Kol Kach in the path of Moshe Rabbeinu Shalom, shalafi erech malad adam yirad Hashem v'midot shulach levavo erech ze inatein lo min hashamayim kenyan atarav yivol achar kach mimad regadol lefi erech ze tishkach atarav mimenu kabo shem ruchazal shekama enyanim gormim l'shechad atarav malad zama derar gadol ze amru chazal fer shekatu b'siyumah shal tarav v'chal yad hachazer shaz Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. He said what he was teaching them was that this was supposed to be a model for them, that just like God said, look, write new luchot, this is every... What he wanted to teach them was that everybody can be like Moshe. That you write the luchot for yourself, in your own way, with your own capabilities. And if it breaks, right, you mess it up, start again. What he was teaching them was dafka this, right? Was that the Torah isn't something that is magical. The only way it's going to work is if you recognize you have to write your own Torah. And if you mess up, you got to start again. Right, that's what he was teaching them. He didn't want them to have Torah that was magical and surpassed their ability and, you know, lived on no matter how they acted. What he did was break the Torah so that the Torah would be dependent on the ethical stance of the person. That it would be dependent on them, and therefore, just like Moshe could break it, if you need to break it, you'll break your own and you'll recreate it, which is also, I think, very different from Putner's point, right? His point is, no, you're right. Ideally, you should remember all the Torah. That only works if people are good. If people are bad, you need Torah that can be constantly be broken down and rebuilt. Because otherwise, right, you could be a massive Talmud Chacham, but not stand for Torah. And that's a problem. Right, what Moshe was teaching him was, no, if you can't just have magic Torah that is independent of you living a life that is in consonance with that Torah. And therefore Moshe broke it to say that you too, every time you're not Zocha, you got to start again. Right, you've got to write your own to make sure that it's in consonance with who you are. Okay, that's some more thoughts, but I heard that clock. Someone's go off for 10 o'clock. So if you want to look over some Shavuos things, you'll see that there's some other ideas on this Gemara here. But I, like I said, my main goal was to get you into Rav Huttner's thinking, so I think we did.